Welcome to another episode of Autastic.
Yes.
This is episode 48, I think. 48, episode 48. Graham K is here with me.
I am. Hi.
This is a comedian's guide to autism. We have autism in our lives through our family members. I have a severely autistic son who's 17, and Graham has a...
something autistic.
More moderately autistic brother, I'd say. He's 32 now. 32, had a little birthday last
week. Yeah.
Got some X-Men. And we just talk. This is not science.
Star Wars, not X-Men.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man as well.
You got the X-Flyer.
X-Wing fighter.
X-Wing. Oh, yeah. Brother, I'm 1,000 years old. This isn't science. It's
The first movies came out when you were in your 20s, so you should.
Listen, I remember when I saw Charlie Chaplin live.
Yeah.
He did like a Q&A.
Too risky. Too much. I didn't think the talkies were going to take off.
He offered me to invest in it, and I was like, this is never going to work.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear anybody talk.
No.
Yeah, this isn't science, and this isn't sad. We just, two comedians just talking about autism in our life. So this is a special episode. Usually we have more of a format, but this is a special Father's Day episode.
Yes, it is.
It's Father's Day this weekend.
You're a father.
I am. This is one of the best things.
And I'm your daddy. So there's a connection here.
I start crying all of a sudden.
No, this is the... I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you got it, man.
This is a Father's Day episode paying tribute to the dads out there. Dads listening, you're the best. You're going to make it.
You can do this.
Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, you can do it.
You can do it. Kirk knows best. You can do it. I watched my dad. He did it. My brother is 32 years old. He's happy. It was rough for a few years. And my dad's a champ. Man, everything's great right now. My dad's a champ. Came out on the other side. You're doing great. I've watched you in the past year be a great father.
I thought you say cry.
And cry. I think I caught you a couple times. Kirk cries a little bit, but it's mostly when playing aggressive, angry basketball is how he gets it out. Just these 20-year-olds get bullied. It hurts sometimes.
Not bullied. Listen, if you're younger than me and stronger, then you got to man up.
Kirk takes out his autism fatherhood pain on these millennials on the basketball court, and it is quite hilarious
to watch.
Well,
now you know why I did okay boxing. I did okay. Yeah, there's a lot of anger in there. There's a lot of anger.
But, Kirk, we'll start off with you. We'll do some stories to commemorate my dad, and you can talk about your experience being a father.
Yeah, we've got a special segment this week. Having your dad call in. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, yeah. I'm going to call him because I don't know if he'd figure it out, but I'm just kidding, Dad. My dad's the best. He's really the best. A great father. But let's shift the focus to you. You are also a great father, and I've never said this, but I want to commend you on how fantastic you are, how committed you are. You'll do whatever it takes to make it work.
I'm trying, man.
You found a really good placement for your son, even though it's far away from you, and that must really be hard. But even though he lives in Sweden and you live in California, basically opposite ends of the world, you go there a lot, you remain in contact, and you're a big part of his life. And even though it's hard, he's probably going to be better for it.
It's for him, it's the best. It's the best situation out of a bunch of tough decisions. I took like theology and Bible courses and all that stuff. It's like we had one class called was it systematic theology anyway, and they talk about a tragic moral choice where you just make the best decision that you can, and it's not the ideal. It's not the ideal. It's not what you scripted, but it's the best out of a bunch of not great options.
Yeah, he chose. So. Well, the thing at the end, it's hardest on you, but probably best for him.
It's best for him, yeah. I'm going there in August again, so I'm going to be there for 10 days.
You go there
days.
A lot. You fly to Sweden a lot.
His mom will take a break, and I'll watch him for 10 days or something. It'll be great. It's going to be a great time. Summer's in Sweden. There's worse ways to spend your life.
No, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Do you have any stories you want to share?
So this is like we were talking off the air about stories for Father's Day. So this is one of my favorite memories. So I'm kind of a sports junkie. So I've tried to teach my son basketball, and he's borderline interested in catch and anything. And he's like, his version of catch is you throw the ball to him, and then he throws it a different direction. So you have to go fetch the ball like a dog. He thinks that's hilarious.
That's pretty funny. He's not wrong.
And like by the third time, you're like, you're doing this on purpose. You just want to see how many times you can do this to make me go get the ball.
Yep.
But he was always interested. We got him bikes since he was like 4 or 5, and he'd always take the bike and turn it upside down and then just spin the wheels. That's what he would do. Just, you know, crank it. You see the chain move. You see it all work together, and then he would dismantle it. Well, when he was about, this was about, he'd have been maybe 14 or 15. We got him another bike, training wheels, which is hard on a big person bike. Mm-hmm. And he figured out how to ride a bike.
No way.
So great.
How, that gives me goosebumps.
We used to live out in Throgs Neck in the Bronx, and yeah, there's a base out there, a maritime academy, like for they train a Coast Guard and Marine and sailors.
Uh-huh.
And so we used to ride on that base, and I used to jog with him. Back, this is back when I was in shape, and he would ride the bike, and I'm jogging, which is hard. And then one day he figured out he could go faster than me on a bike. And he just, he's like pedaling, and he like looks over at me and kind of smiles, and then just like, just takes off. And I'm like, okay, wait up. And he's just laughing. Ha ha ha. Joke's on him. He doesn't know how to use the brakes. So he ran right into a car eventually. But it was the funnest. Like when he like just left me in the dust, I was so happy. Like he learned how to do it, and he like, it was like his own little joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And he felt free.
He felt free.
And
yeah.
And it was like a real, honest father son moment.
That was great.
It had nothing to do with autism.
No, I was hoping to experience that when he was 4, but it was when he was 14. But it's still great.
It doesn't matter. You still got to experience
that. Great.
That's amazing. That's a great story. That's another example of how it's like parents who keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, and then it works.
And it works just a lot later than you think.
Yeah, but it still happens,
though. It's still going to work out.
And it's still, if you try, you'll be so surprised.
Yeah, it's just time.
Yeah.
Took a little longer than we thought, that's all.
Everyone's got, you know, it's just time. Time's free.
Yeah. Let's call your dad.
Let's call my dad. Let's see. Yeah, I he'll talk to you. You guys will know. You'll figure it out.
Hi,
Dad. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
You are on the air.
Hey, Mr. K. This is Kirk Smith. How you doing?
How you doing, Kirk?
Good. Nice to meet you over the phone.
Good to talk to you. It's the first time. I've heard you many times, but it's the first time to talk to you.
Yeah, it's great talking. Thank you so much for doing our little show. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Oh, pleasure. I've listened to it many times.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. You're the best. So we're, like I said off air, we're doing a Father's Day theme.
Yeah.
And Kirk just shared a little story about how he taught his son to ride a bike finally at 14. But I wanted to ask you more specifically. You know, Peter's 32. Kirk's son is 18. He's still sort of in the thick of it. And 17. So is Peter in a way. Yep. But Peter, you know, in the past 5-10 years, it seems Peter's really got to a comfortable place. And I attribute that to parenting, mostly.
So I've had a lot of help.
Yeah.
We were fortunate at a time when there was the school system was off, you know. I look at friends of ours whose kids are, say, 10 years, or disabled kids are 10 years older than Peter,
mm-hmm.
and they never had the same level of understanding, knowledge of the whole issue, and the supports in place that we enjoyed. We were probably the first generation to have a level of understanding and support in the school system,
right,
so that they had special ed programs for autistic kids and could put them in a classroom and give them the training that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
Language skills. Peter was not really nonverbal,
right,
up until he was 4 years old.
Right.
And we worried that if he would ever speak, and when, you know, four-year-old kinder came along and it became obvious this was not just a kid delayed, will be normal someday. He's a disabled kid.
And what was that like as like a young man learning that about your kid? Like what went through your head?
Oh,
and
devastating.
Yeah.
I mean, it was devastating on one hand, but the other hand, it was just confirmation of something that we already knew.
Right.
But, you know, it was like the school board child psychiatrist telling you, you have an autistic kid.
Right.
And that's, you know, so all the pretense of, oh, he's just going to catch up someday went away.
Right.
At that moment.
So it's kind of a little bit of relief in a sense that you feel validated in your feelings?
Yeah, very much.
Yeah.
Very much. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, just a follow-up to Graham's question. So, like, we have a lot of young parents. This is a Father's Day episode, but we have a lot of young mothers and fathers who are just going through that. And what advice would you give to a 25-year-old, 27-year-old mom or dad who's, they just found out, they're devastated, and action? What would you tell them?
You know, your love for your kid doesn't change. You don't, you still love your kid.
Of course.
You adapt, you will adapt.
Right.
To the needs. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we, in some respects, we were extremely lucky with Peter in that he turns out, I would say, fairly high functioning autistic.
Yeah.
He learned to speak. He learned to speak very well.
He lives alone.
He can read. Mm-hmm. He can write at a pretty junior level, but nevertheless, he's able to do that. Mm-hmm. He's able to learn social skills. And I would say learning the appropriate social skills at the appropriate time is probably the key learning experience.
And that took a lot of time. Like, I remember, like, and it's still an ongoing thing. It's sort of a learnt. He doesn't have the instincts. They're just, he learns that it's not the right thing to say.
Well,
like, I remember when Grandpa died, he'd like the day after, we'd be having dinner, and he'd go to Grandma, and like, so are you sad that Grandpa's dead? And we're like, oh, Peter. God.
Yeah. autistic people, I think, is sort of, as a universal thing, can say is they lack abstract reasoning skills. So they don't get the joke.
Right.
They don't, you know, if they're explaining the joke, then they can get the joke sometimes, but they don't. So abstract reasoning skills come into play when something's different, something's been changed. Mm-hmm. And so you have to, people with abstract reasoning skills, you and me, we can say, oh, something's changed, and we can adapt to that change. Autistic people have a hard time adapting to change. Mm-hmm. They can be taught change. And every autistic person is different. But we were fortunate with Peter is that he could learn. Mm-hmm. It took a hell of a long time, but there's progress. That's a big deal. I guess
what you would say to the parents out there is that there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Don't give up.
Well, you know, there's always a light.
Yeah.
Is it a train coming?
your kid is the light.
Right.
When it comes right down to it, your kid is the light.
Right.
And, you know, you just got to love them.
Yeah. Dad, thank you so much.
That's great.
I really appreciate this.
Oh, my pleasure.
It's great.
Call more often.
Okay.
He has to have a charted radio show in order to pick up that phone. You know how it is.
Okay. Have a good show.
It's great to meet you.
Thanks, Dad. And a happy Father's Day.
Happy early Father's Day. Yeah.
Bye-bye. So that was my dad, listeners. You guys have heard from my dad before. He's the best. I learned a lot from him.
Learned how to be a man.
Yeah, I learned a lot about patience. Watching him growing up as a teenager and a boy, watching him deal with my brother. And by the way, Mom, I know you're listening. You're like, what about me? I love you too, and you'll have a Mother's Day episode.
Yeah, we'll do that.
But watching him... my mother was like always the organizer. Like, we're going to, you know, this is the... My dad was sort of like the emotional backbone of how to, in football as a quarterback, you always say, stay in the pocket. Don't get rattled by these giant men coming at you. You have to stay still and focus and look downfield at what is ahead of you. You know what I mean? To make the progress.
Yep.
Don't worry about what is directly in front of you that's going to hurt you. you know, and stay calm. Anyway, so my dad
focus
would always
focus on the important, my not dad on would, the immediate.
Yeah, my dad would always stay calm, and he's got always had a plan, and he made he never got rattled, and I'm sure he was scared. You could hear it in his voice. You know, he's like devastating. I've never heard him say that. You know,
but yeah, I thought that was very transparent. Very honest.
Yeah. And
but I think that's the truth. I think sometimes we like to sugarcoat stuff where you're mm-hmm. like, oh no, it's great. It's everything's a blessing.
I never felt as a child, I never felt like my parents were not in control of my brother's future and extremely worried. I think one time my mom came back from watching Forrest Gump and she cried, you know, and that was it. Mm-hmm. You know, the rest of the time
we all cried.
They were, well, she was like, she's just like Peter, you know?
Yeah.
But it was like, they're always, it seemed like they were in control and it sort of rubbed off on me. I wasn't worried, yeah. You know, and they never stopped trying to make Peter progress. You know, like that thing from last episode, try a million times. One of those times you're going to succeed. Like your son's bicycle. You know, he's 14.
Yep.
He's riding a bicycle. You know, he's just as able-bodied when he was 13, but he wasn't ready yet. You know, they kept trying, and he did it. And that's what Peter was like. And now Peter can read and write, and it's just all due to my parents' parenting and, you know, large part to my dad. My dad was still this day, an excellent father to my brother. And it's just...
And I think he hit on the head too, though. I think it's almost like being like a CEO. It's not that your dad's doing everything, but you're trying to put together a team. Like you said, there's a lot of help, which means there's help from the school, there's help from organizations. So it's that part of it.
My dad has put together a team for after they're gone to take care of my brother. That's how far in the future he's thought about it. Smart. Family, friends that would check in with Peter. Me, obviously.
Yep.
You know, and he's but organized
it's too much for one person to do. It's smart to delegate it out and separate it out. Mm-hmm. Many hands make light work.
Mm-hmm. And they've all agreed and everything. Like, it's just, he's on boards, special needs boards and stuff like that. Anyway, he's the best. I love you, Dad. All right. So I wanted to sort of set you up here. You're a father of somebody who has autism. Do you have? He's 18. He's
17. Being, yeah,
17. 18 this year. He's becoming an adult. Do you have any regrets or traumatic things that happened to him that you wish you handled better?
We had this. I don't think I've really spoken in detail, but we had a time when we moved to New York for a special school. And it was a good school in general, but you know, it can be tough where you've got a lot of kids kids can be jerks. And he came home, a couple things that upset us. He came home once and he doesn't always speak really well. And he would say this little phrase and we couldn't figure out what he was saying. And he was excited about it. So we're trying to listen to what he's saying. And it turns out he's saying, "I'm stupid." And he's saying, "I'm stupid. I'm stupid." And so then you're like, you know, he's excited about it. Mm-hmm. So somebody's taught him to say this. This isn't, he doesn't say six words and one, two of them are "I'm stupid."
Yeah.
You know, that's not something he's just picked up on his own. And then, so you try to figure out, and when he doesn't talk and it's hard to get, you know, communicate with him, who's teaching you this? How did this happen? And then, shortly thereafter, you had an incident on a bus where he was scratched up. Some kid attacked him and, you know, it's hard to know what to do because he's a big kid. He's already like almost 6 feet tall and he's a heavy set kid. You know, he's not a kid. And I remember, made me think about what my dad did. I was a slightly built kid. I was very small and thin. I mean, tall and thin and too sweet, to be honest. Just a nice kid. And my dad taught me, well, when the kid attacks you, what you want to do is get low and then you want to hit him right in the sternum with your head as hard as you can. It's going to wind him a little bit. Then when he leans forward, he's going to have his head over your head. You whip your head up really hard. It's called a whip up. And you're going to hit him right in the nose. You probably break his nose. Now, he's going to be dazed. Then you start punching him.
It's a Father's Day episode. That's some good Father's Day advice.
Broke it down. Listen, my dad was born out in the Midwest, and his dad is, his parents are from the Depression. So he just taught you, when somebody's attacking you, this is how you defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I didn't know how to translate that to my son. I can't break that down for him at all.
Right.
You know, and then this kid that was
so you feel a little helpless.
Yeah, you know what to do. Because this kid that was bullying him, I was like, if I could just teach him to get this kid in a headlock or do anything, he would murder this kid.
Yeah.
I don't advocate murder. I'm just saying he would be able to defend himself better than I could have when I was a kid. But I did.
It's probably better you don't teach him those sort of things because he won't know when to stop.
That's the problem. He does that to his mom or something and we have a problem.
Exactly. I think it's better this way. I mean, look, you just teach him that he's loved and smart and you complain to the school and whatever. Like, what did you do? Did you talk to the school?
We nicely said it'd be a shame to get the media involved to show that this autistic kid's being bullied on the bus. And, you know, we documented all the scratches and stuff and then reached out to them. And, you know, this would be a real eyesore for the bus company. And you know, I went and talked to them, threatened to sue them. And then miraculously, they had an aide with them at all times, you know. That's the other thing. They had an aide riding the bus. And she's like, well, I can't keep them apart. Well, then you're the wrong person for the job.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they can't hire a 50-year-old woman who's undersized. You know, maybe between these two kids that are bigger than you, you need somebody bigger, or you need two people, or you need three people, or whatever. But the solution isn't my kid gets beat up every day because you don't want to step between them.
Such an American solution. I threatened to sue them.
Well, what do you do?
Well, you say, look, this is happening, and then they go, oh, well, they said, we'll stop that.
Well, they said, well, you know, these, you know, kids will be kids. Well, no. You don't.
Yeah.
My disabled son isn't going to get beat up every day because kids will be kids, because then adults will be adults and I'll just start beating up people. What does that mean? Kids are kids. That's not a solution. You can't just justify behavior on the fact that they're human beings. Well, I didn't appreciate
it. Well, I'm glad that you were aggressive with them. That's good.
Well, it wasn't just a soon. I think nobody likes the negative publicity. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, that's great.
So you have to, yeah. It's terrible. That's what you have to do, though.
Well, you know, that's why, that's one of the powers of the press.
Yeah.
That's why it's there.
To shine a light on things they don't want to shine a light on.
Well, to keep people honest. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like just a giant old school Consumer Reports. It's good. So, anyway, it doesn't matter. It's glad that you, I'm happy that I think you made the right choice. And I know that you wanted to sort of teach your kid that. But in the end, he's better off for it. And if your kid was neurotypical, you know, it's probably better that that would happen anyway. Like, it would be good to teach him to beat the crap out of somebody. Do you have any advice for young fathers out there?
I would say this. It sounds a little trite, but you always feel like when you're going through stuff that this is the end-all, be-all of your life, that this is how it's going to be forever, and that's not the case. My daughter's moving out this month. She's going this summer to spend summer with her mom, and so I'm packing up some stuff and going to be living alone. And so, like, there were some times when my son was little and going through it where he would smear poop on the walls. That's like a common thing people know in an autism community for severely autistic people. And so you would do this thing in your brain where, like, this is going to be my life forever.
Yeah.
This is how my life's going to be.
Uh-huh.
And quicker than you think, it's not. You know, the kid, you know, whether he ends up being an adult and getting quote unquote better or living alone or living in some sort of assisted living, or that this, your life isn't over. This isn't going to be your life forever. You're going through a hard time and it's hard, and you're allowed to say it's hard. You're allowed to say it sucks.
Yep.
You're allowed to say
it does suck.
I don't,
you're
like
allowed
it.
To say it yeah. sucks sometimes, because it does suck sometimes.
But remember, it's not forever.
It's not forever.
You feel like it's going to be forever, but it's not, and it's going to work out.
Yeah. And I can, that's basically what my dad said.
Yeah.
You know, my dad's a happy man. You can tell in his voice.
He's not bitter.
He's fine.
Which is one of the things, I don't want to be bitter.
And you know what? You're doing a good job of not being bitter, buddy.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm...
No.
You gotta let this stuff go.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. You know how happy your son was when he biked away?
He's pretty happy.
He was pretty happy. He was just as happy as any other kid.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway...
He put one over on his old man.
Guys, I think we did it.
This is it, man. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. Congrats to all you fathers out there.
And you'll get your episode, Mothers, but happy Mother's Day, too. I'll just throw that out there. I know we have a lot of moms listening.
Yes, hey, you too. You guys are doing great. But today is the Father's Day. Let's give them that, Kirk, all right?
Fair enough.
You guys are great. Everything's going to be, you're going to be okay.
It's going to work out.
It's going to work out, and you're doing a great job. You guys deserve to know that. Thanks very much for listening, guys. Patreon.com/autastic. If you'd like to donate $1 an episode, it's less than a cup of coffee a week, guys. And you also, as always, share us, tell your friends, Give us a good review on iTunes, and rate us on iTunes. That helps a lot as well. And thanks again for the support, guys.
Have a great week, guys.
Happy Father's Day!
Yahoo!